The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh rugs.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 236 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for permaculture. Is my passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs yourself. Everything you can't get from them, get yourself. And boy, if you didn't need more encouragement, just look at the fact that Russia just changed its nuclear engagement strategy. So stay alert, stay alive. You know what time it is, but we're not going to keep on that too much. If you want to tip a pimp, do it over on a do it on a fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed if you'd like. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a playa, you can drop a SAT on a PIMP. All right. Well, rainy day. Are you looking for animals 2x2 or what?
Yeah. Rainy yesterday, rainy night, rainy today, rainy tonight.
Should we go conspiratorial?
Yes.
Because you and I had this little discussion this morning and... I look, I'm a permaculture designer. You're a permaculture designer. Okay.
Yeah.
What would you say one of my superpowers is?
Well,
ones you can say on air.
Well, noticing patterns.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll tell y'all a pattern. Michelle has way more superpowers than I do as well.
No, I don't. I was going to say observation, but then I had to clarify because observing animals, observe animals.
No, I'm not good at all at certain parts of observation, but I am pretty good at noticing patterns. And when it comes to patterns, over and over, like I said before, with like when they said, oh man, we got all this smoke down here because of all these Canadian fires. And I'm like, how is that possible? When all the prevailing winds are going from the southeast to the northwest, how are we getting Canadian smoke down here? None of it made sense. Well, check this out, y'all. The last three hurricanes that have come this way, or at least on the East Coast, which they always do, it seems, or it's going to be up through the Gulf, through Texas, Louisiana, or somewhere, Alabama, somewhere around there. Every single time, before this thing even makes landfall, we seem to have a shamal unfolding up here. All at the same time, like days before. And then, of course, what was it preceded by, Michelle? What did you notice?
So yesterday morning, they were spraying.
Yep. Like nobody's business. Here we are once again. So it's raining cats and dogs. Asheville looks like Godzilla just walked all over it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what was that video you just showed me a little while ago?
It was on the Weather Channel. There, Biltmore Village, there was this pickup. First of all, the city planners should be fired if... just for the amount of water that there was a pickup truck driving through it and it was three quarters of the way up his tires. Would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere thereabouts.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they think it was bad then, well, by tonight.
And it hasn't even really started yet.
No, not the official storm, but just like every other time, it's like we got something, some calamity jumps off. And I'm like, I've been saying for how long now, like, how on earth? The thing hasn't even made landfall. How are we getting this awful weather before every single storm? Before every single thing that hits the East Coast? We always in Western North Carolina, and I can't speak for everybody else, but I can talk about here. We always get bombarded with some nasty rain event right before them. But it's not all bad, y'all. So just hang in for the main topic because I'll get down to brass tacks on some of this stuff. But anyway, that's something, and you don't think it's all completely organic. You know, I can't wait to find out what I got friends out there that look at HARP, high out. What is it?
I don't remember what it stands for.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I would ordinarily know until I'm trying to know. I'll bet you HARP is in full array right now. And basically, if anybody wonders what it is, HARP is basically up in Alaska. There's this antenna system called HARP. And there was a guy, a doctor, he wrote Angels Don't Play This Harp. And his dad was a senator that just disappeared. He was one of the guys that disappeared not long after the Kennedy assassination. I can't believe I can't think of his name either right now. Having something of a senior moment. But anyway, he wrote Angels Don't Play This Harp. Just search it. Don't worry. You'll find it. Anyway. Maybe,
unless you're using Google, and then you won't find anything.
Well, you got that right. Anyway. I mean, this array, you would be shocked at what they're able to do with it. Now, they have mobile arrays of HARP, and they have these other antenna systems that can basically steer these storms. I mean, this, and if you think you think this is like quack nonsense, well, just Google. No, don't Google. Google is not
find,
a verb.
Yeah, find a reliable internet search engine other than
and the, look up the Operation Popeye. Ones. Look at what they were doing back in Vietnam when they were flooding the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Yeah,
that's what kills me. Like, some people think that this is, they can't manipulate the weather. Johnson came out and said they can and did. And then they did it in Vietnam. Like, this is not new technology. They've been using it for decades.
Well, next week I'm going to have Dane Wigington on from Geoengineering Watch. Folks, you're not going to want to miss that one. I'm going to try to go live with him on YouTube. We'll see how long that lasts. We'll go live with him on YouTube and see his assessment of all this. But good night, man. I mean, like you said, that polecat Lyndon Johnson all the way back then was talking about the fact that,
he who controls the weather controls the world.
Yep. Yep. That was practically a direct quote. Yep. So anyway, look, at the end of the day, look, I'll offer your prayers to all the folks. I mean, it hasn't yet come in to shore yet. It's getting close, and it looks like some of these waves are going to be some of the storm surge, depending who's that guy you listen to on the internet,
Weatherman Plus.
Yeah, he's saying it could be up somewhere in the neighborhood of, in some cases, 20 feet or more of storm surge. So, man, that could be pretty doggone devastating to all these coasts over there. And who even knows what to combat? I mean, they're talking about this thing maintaining its strength all the way up, which is an impossibility.
How many miles inland are we?
From where it
from where it made landfall,
from Florida all the way up here, it's still supposed to be a Category 1. Come on, man. I mean, yeah, but I'm a conspiracy theorist, right? Yeah, go out there. Nick Begich, by the way, is the name of that author, and his dad was one of the senators that came up missing on an Alaskan flight. Him, along with a guy that was on the Warren Commission, disappeared to this day. And it was Cokie Roberts' dad, by the way, and she's never spoken about that. Both of these guys knew a whole lot, and here they are, MIA. So even to this day, they have not found that plane or those guys on it. So, another MR-340, but a long time ago. All right, so we'll get into some of the farm, more directly related farm stuff. But look, offer your prayers to all these people down there, and pray this storm subsides. Pray that it, I mean, honestly, pray that this thing, regardless of whatever anybody's ever doing or manipulating or whatever the case may be, let's all pray that this thing just loses its
power, strength.
Yeah, that it just goes down to a trickle, at the end of the day, my Lord's stronger than theirs. And so let's try to, collectively get out there and get on our knees and pray that this thing. Because, I mean, honestly, Weatherman Plus was even to the point of crying.
He was in tears. Like, his earlier video this week, and he referenced, I think it was Hurricane Michael, which I don't remember because we weren't living in this area at the time. And there's been so many in the last few years that it's hard to keep track of them. But, yeah, he was in tears over this thing. And it turns out that it wasn't as strong as he initially thought it was going to be. So that's good.
Right. So let's stay in prayer for those guys. All right. So on the front porch today, since, I mean, we were able to go out there and move the animals, and I did that video yesterday of putting up a temporary shelter. I'm leaving it up just to prove the point that even in high winds,
Yeah, the winds tonight, are supposed to start tonight.
Yeah, it's supposed to get pretty bad tonight. Even in high winds, y'all, I'm going to prove that this tarp with, I don't know, 60 mile per hour winds. I mean, there ain't a tarp out there that's going to put up with sustained winds anywhere close to that by using the eyelets. And I'm going to leave this one up to prove that this thing is 10 times stronger. And we'll just see how that pans out. But of course, that's another one of those videos that's never going to see the light of day, you know. But honestly, that is a massive technique that you really, and somebody was saying, well, hey, you need to use an end of line knot. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I just did a video on basically doing your tarp in a different way in high winds. And somebody said, use an end of line knot. Well, I can tell you why that won't work. The reason why an end of line knot won't work is because you need two ropes or two materials of equal size. The reason why the double sheet bend is so awesome for an application like this is that you have two, it's really awesome of joining two materials of different dimensions.
Like the tarp and then the 550 right. cord.
A guy's telling me, do the double fisherman. Well, a double fisherman's knot won't work unless you have two ropes of equal diameter. And that's why the double fisherman, you know, it's great for what it is, but it's not going to work in an application like this. So, yeah, stick to the double sheet bend. All right. So you were out there processing some comfrey out there. So yep, we're going to have plenty of that for sale.
I dug up comfrey yesterday before the torrential downpour started.
I've been going through while you were doing that. I was working on a lot of administrative kind of things, paperwork and emails and stuff like that. And folks, like I said, if I'm not responding to you, it's because I'm not getting it. And we're working on that. Trust me, we got a whole lot going on. And I'm even working on some of the other biohacks that I've been doing. Some of them, like I said, maybe a week ago, so I don't know how it came up, but we were talking about garlic and how I quit using my garlic regimen because we stopped drinking bone broth every morning.
Yeah.
Remember? And I said, okay, I'm going to start doing it. So look, man, I'm just sucking it up. I got a clove of garlic on the counter and a bulb and I break off a clove every time I eat a solid meal. Now, right now, instead of doing the intermittent fast, I'm still intermittent fasting, but I eat about five meals a day while doing the intermittent fasting. So I basically don't eat until about 11 and then I stop eating at about 7:30, somewhere thereabout. So I'm intermittent fasting. I'm trying to widen that gap a little bit, but you know, it's going to take some more. I'm trying to not do it at the same time every single day. I'm trying to switch it up because you'll find out your results are a whole lot better if you don't just stay on Mindy Peltz, Dr. Mindy Peltz. She talked about that the people that do the one meal a day thing, when you do that sort of biohacking, your body kind of gets into a state where you're not going to see much improvement. It's like a weightlifter who lifts the same weights every single time. You got to change up the stress. Well, same thing with your diet, at least for me. So I'm trying to change that up and I'm trying to mix it up a little bit. So I'm working on that. So during my solid meals, I'm basically, look, man, while I'm eating that beef or steak or whatever it is, it's usually some kind of meat. I'm basically eating a clove of garlic with it, you know, at the same time. I don't really taste it as much, so I don't mind the taste of garlic at all. In fact, I rather like it. But and then after a workout, I'm taking in a shake. These days, they call them smoothies. What's so funny?
Do you not like that word? Do you not like a smoothie? Do you not like the thought of you drinking a smoothie?
I hate the word smoothie. Look. Nobody ever called it a smoothie 20 years. When did it ever start becoming? Is this another hipster thing? This is why I can't stand hipsters. I guarantee.
I don't think it came from hipsters.
I'll bet a buffalo nickel some hipster came up. Would you like a shake? No, I'd like a smoothie. It's like they can't call it guacamole anymore. It's guac. I remember the first time they asked me, would you like some guac? I'm like, what's that? I didn't know what they were talking about. You know, guacamole. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like guacamole, but I don't know what guac is. I was at Chipotle or something like that. Or another, would you like some veg? Veg. I mean, and it's always hipsters. It's always hipsters that comes up with this stuff. This is why I just want to strangle every hipster I see. You can't even drink a shake now. Look, y'all call it what you want. Y'all call it, you can call it whatever you want.
This is why
you drink a smoothie,
we stay home.
I feel just, look, I feel about 5/16 gay every time I say the word. Now I feel about 2/3 gay because I just said it again. But look, I don't drink smoothies, man. I drink shakes.
Protein shake.
Yeah. I like to know when that happened.
I think it had, yeah, I don't know. I don't think smoothies came from hipsters though. They should take credit for a lot of things, but I don't know if that's one of them. Guac for sure. I don't know why. I don't know why people have to shorten. Like, it's not that much of an effort to say guac, the full word, whatever the word is. Like, just say the full word.
That's what I hated so much about text language. Because I said, I'll bet you money before ChatGPT. I remember the first time I heard about anything about ChatGPT, it was Eric that told me about it, Eric Sider. And I think I wrote back to him like, no kid will ever, ever, ever do another book report ever again. It will never happen. And so you can see the degradation of the language. I mean, you know, when I read some of the old stuff from the Founding Fathers or whatever the case, and you know, they had to have an economy of language. And they had to say words that conveyed a lot of meaning because, I mean, paper cost money back then, you know,
well, writing instruments. You actually had to write with ink and a, what do you call those? The pen and the ink.
Right. So, you know, you would use it instead of saying, hey, let's meet together at 6 o'clock. They'd say, let's rendezvous at 6, you know, you had to be very economical. And then when you look at the Civil War, I mean, guys that had nothing but a fifth grade education, if even that, and you look at the letters that they wrote home from the Civil War, on both sides, and the prose, the poetry that came out of that, what they were able to convey in a single page. And I'm not talking like a standard letter page. I mean, these were very small pages, and with a pencil, I mean, these things, they're ubiquitous now, but back then they were hard to come by. And, you know, when you look at where that language is gone, where people just use just brilliant, brilliant prose and everything else, it's just, and then when I saw text language, when that started coming out, because as you know, I am unable, if I write a text to you, unless it's a profound mistake, you better believe there will be punctuation marks in it. Yeah,
but Philly, you have to read your text before you send them, because how many times have you spoken
That's why, yeah, I have made mistakes. I have made mistakes.
And it's like, what?
People had to be thinking, what? But remember the first time there was a guy, he was very, I won't say the name, but he was very, very smelly back in Kansas. And the guy, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
And he would write these text messages that were run-on sentences. There wasn't even a space between the words. And I handed the phone over to him. I said, what is this? What is this? And you had to sit there and look at it. If I got to spend any kind of time at all, whether it's an email or a text message, man, I'm just, if you don't care enough to punctuate this thing and I got to sit here and figure out what's trying to be.
Yeah. Translate your text.
I understand if, you know, there's some mistakes or typos or whatever. I totally get that. But, you know, I mean, when it's just a run-on sentence and no punctuation, I mean, there was no period, no, I was like, okay, forget this, man. Yeah. So you're banished, man. I'm not going to even respond, but yeah, I'm working on my shake recipe. Yeah, that's one thing I was working on today, really kind of perfecting that. So if anybody wants to know, I mean, that's, I drink one, maybe two shakes a day, and the rest are solid meals, because frankly I just can't take in enough calories. Not these days. I mean, I'm not like I used to be, you know, back in the old days when I was lifting heavy and doing all those things, man. I could
yeah, but really... you also ate anything. You didn't have, you didn't eat as clean as you are today.
Well, you got that right. My diet is rather, I mean, I'm talking like total. I mean, I don't know that it's ever been better, not consistently and not for this long. So in my smoothie, because somebody I think wanted to know about it. So, I mean, if I'm doing, it's going to have a banana or maybe half a banana, some blueberries that we picked, microgreens. I literally just cut them literally right off. Put them in the blender, beef isolate, protein powder.
But it's chocolate flavored, so it doesn't taste like beef. It's actually a very good protein shake.
Well, and then plus Mike, you buy that stuff from Mike Adams where it's a chocolate,
it's a
mushroom
cocoa. It's a cocoa and a mushroom blend. So it's like, it's good cocoa powder, plus it has all of your mushroom, medicinal mushrooms in it.
So that's in there. I use this stuff from Mark Sisson, where it's a, It's
collagen. I don't know what that is because I don't
use it. It's collagen. And it's also, so I mean, it might be about 40 grams of protein in this thing. I put in an avocado, some salt. Yes. About a half a teaspoon of that Celtic sea salt, cinnamon, nutmeg, creatine. But in order to get the benefits of creatine, you got to have a little bit of sugar in there. And that's where the banana comes in. And so, yeah, put all that together, blend it up. And honestly, if somebody didn't tell you that this was extremely healthy, that I had half of that filled with microgreens, you would never, ever, ever, ever know it. I mean, it's really something else. And so, yeah, I'm taking one of those sometimes twice a day, on the days where I'm going to, you know, I've been lifting heavier and heavier, and, I'm hoping to try to put on some muscle and be an example for all the other middle-aged guys out there. So maybe they look at me and think, okay, man, maybe this is a little more accessible, you know? So, yeah, that's what I put in my shake, not smoothie. I don't drink smoothies. Like I said, now I feel three quarters gay. I said it three times. All right. So another little biohack I'm doing too is called NSDR. It's non-sleep deep rest. Have you ever heard of this?
When you told me about it, yes.
Oh, I didn't know I told you. It was from Dr. Andrew Huberman. He's another biohacker out there, folks. I wasn't really believing this thing at first until I heard him in an interview and he talked about non-sleep deep rest. And I was like, okay, let me check this out. Well, he online, you can go on the YouTube and find it. There's like a 10-minute and a 20-minute version where you just basically lay down and just do what he's telling you. And it's simple, but the real trick is trying to stay awake. Now, why would you do something like this? Let's say you had a night where you didn't sleep much or you couldn't sleep at all. You don't have to lay down. I imagine you can. Yeah, I think you can sit up. I did it two times now. I did the 10-minute version and I did the 20-minute version. And it didn't happen immediately, but I was absolutely dog tired, y'all. I mean, absolutely dog tired because I hadn't slept for a couple of days. And as I said before, that's something I'm definitely working on, trying to get my sleep regimen down. And I did the non-sleep deep rest 10-minute regimen. And I was like, man, I'm having a hard time staying awake. So when I got off the mat, I was doing it while I was laying on a pulse electric magnetic field mat. And I got up off that mat and I was like, I don't think that thing worked. I'd say about 15 minutes later, I'm bouncing off the walls. I mean, well, maybe that's an overstatement. No, it is an overstatement. I was rejuvenated. I'll put it that way. I think that's a better way of saying it. Then I did the 20-minute version. Now, you can do this thing anytime, day or night. Now, the idea is, believe it or not, now, you don't want to make a habit of getting bad sleep because obviously that's, you know, that's something you want to correct and not have. But if you find yourself in a position where maybe you didn't sleep well or maybe whatever the case, I mean, pick your poison, whatever the case may be, you didn't sleep well, you just feel a little bit run down, I'm telling y'all what, give this thing a shot. You could even be in your office chair at work or whatever, or better still, you'd be better off laying on the ground somewhere. And hopefully you got some grounding mats if you are working inside of an office or something like that. But you go through this thing, and by the time it's all said and done, like I said, I've only done it twice, but I wanted to let you know about it. If anybody else tries it, and tell me what your results are. But for me, I couldn't believe the response that I had. And on the 20-minute one, I was like, okay, I really believe this thing works. So it's little biohacks like that where, and it was based off of a yoga method that I don't even try to get me to pronounce it. It was based off a yoga method that he took into the lab, changed it around, and made it way more accessible to you and me out there without, you know, having to go into all the things. There's things about yoga that I'm not going to be on board with, but yeah, give it a shot. If anybody gives it a shot, email me. Let me know how it works. Billy@permapasturesfarm.com. And hopefully your email gets through to me. So we're working on, like I said, on a way to get that one worked out. Another one I'm doing that I was doing And this is the last little biohack. I mean, I'm telling you all the latest stuff, y'all. Cut and paste what you need. Look, I'm always going to do the deep breathing. Michelle and I do it every morning. I'm always going to do the sunlight when I don't forget, like I did today. And if I don't, I use a red light therapy bed.
The thing you put on the wall.
Yeah, vertical thing where you hang it on a door. Red light therapy, always going to do that. Always going to do the deep breathing. The results are fantastic. And it's like Gary Breck always says, you know, where the presence of oxygen is, well, is the absence of disease. So you're trying to oxygenate yourself and your body as much as possible. So I'm just passing on to y'all what I'm finding out. So the last little thing I'm doing is Redmond's Clay. And there's a bunch of different applications that you can do with this. There's a little booklet called We Wear Clay and We Eat It Too.
And it's right on their website. It's a download. It's a free download on Redmond's website.
Yeah, so you can take this stuff. There are reports of people that supposedly it gathers all the toxins out of you, like you do a foot bath with it, okay? And you sit in there like you would with Epsom salt or anything else. And Epsom salts is also another good way. If you can't sleep, y'all, try that one. Better still, get some of that magnesium breakthrough and take two of them before going to bed, about an hour before bed. Tell me if your sleep doesn't work out then. But Redmond's Clay, it'll chelate all the junk out of you, supposedly, through your feet. Now, there was a report of a lady taking this stuff, this clay, after she soaked her feet. And apparently it extracted so much stuff out of her that she was pouring it on her plants and it killed her plants. I read the booklet and it was killing her plants. So, be mindful, maybe pour it down the driveway or something. I don't know. But, that's another little thing I intend to get back into is doing the Redmond's Clay foot bath, but it's just a matter of trying to find the time. And honestly, a lot of these things I'm telling you about, I stack with other things so I can get through. Like, for example, like the non-sleep deep rest, I can do that while I'm on a PEMF mat, or, you know, just grounding myself or whatever the case may be. You can stack these things and get additional functions. So let's say, you know, you're at home. A lot of people watch TV. So let's say you're watching TV. Well, put your, you know, get some of that Redmond's Clay, put your feet in there. And as I understand it, we do have, are we affiliates now with Redmond?
Yes, with Redmond. Yep. I'll include the link in the show notes, and PERMA is the discount code for 15% off.
Now, folks, I'm not saying this because, I mean, obviously it would help us, but seriously and truly, I mean, I use Redmond salt every single day, don't you?
Yeah, I use Redmond salt, like their salt for the kitchen, but I also, every morning, I put a scoop of their electrolytes in my water. And I've been doing that for...
You've been doing it quite a while.
Yeah, for at least a year.
Now, I just got on board with the electrolytes probably a few months ago. And I was like, okay, where's this been my whole life?
Yeah, and you can put the salt in your protein shake. Like, I know it doesn't sound good, but just try, like, especially a chocolate protein shake and put some salt in there. It tastes good.
It really does. And if it tastes really, really good, that means your body probably needs it. So, I mean, I kind of mix up the salts because of the profile on each one. The only salt I don't have that I want and I need to get it is Baja Gold. Gary Brecker recommends that. There are a number of other people that recommend the Celtic Sea Salt, which is made, believe it or not, right here in Asheville. They basically put it together here.
Yeah, it's from France, right? I think it's from France, and then she the person that produces it is from Asheville.
Well, there's a bunch of different kinds of salts they have, and I got them all. Like one is called Flower of the Ocean. Another one I don't recall, but they got a kosher Celtic salt. And
I'll get my Redmond salt right here in America.
Right here,
straight from Utah.
From America,
not France.
Yeah, I don't play with. Yeah, but you know, the thing is, the profile on all these different salts is a little bit different. So I want to mix it up. So I put, the way I work it is, anytime I drink it, because it you know, it basically goes in there in like no time at all. I use Celtic sea salt in my shake, and in whatever else I'm drinking. I do it that way, and I do like a half a teaspoon three times a day, and then I use their electrolyte from Redmond's twice a day. And now I got to figure out how I'm going to put the Baja Gold in there, because they all got a different profile and I want to try to get them all and, you know, just see how I react to it all. But listen to your body at the end of the day. All right, y'all. So those are some of the biohacks there. I spent way more time on that because I'm going to try as best I can to stay away from some of the nasty, awful things that are going on in this world, notwithstanding, you know, this storm that's coming this way. But we're going to stay positive and we're going to pray. So coming up real soon, when I say real soon, I'm talking like October 5th, Homesteaders Meetup, Renewed Homestead is putting that on. We're going to be there, Michelle and I, and I think a number of others. And the deadline to sign up for that, because you got to RSVP, folks, for this one. It doesn't cost anything, but you're going to have to RSVP simply because the place where they have it is got a limit. And so as I understand it, I think a number of people are really signing up right now. So yeah, October 1st is going to be the deadline for that. So I'll probably have to do another video and talk about that, and then hopefully have Ben and Denise on. I think we're going to have them on the Monday show, and we're going to talk about something that is very, very needed in these times. And so stay tuned for that. All right, Mountain Readiness is coming up October 18th through the 20th, and that's going to be in Harmony, North Carolina. Folks, I'm telling you what, they got a set of instructors there. If you want to know a lot of tactical stuff, man, that's the place to be, let me tell you. I'm going to try to make it, but I'm not sure what my availability is going to be because we got a lot of stuff going on about that time. In fact, not long after that, we're going to have our event with Jason at Sow the Lamb, which is a pig processing. The October through the October 25th and 26th dates, they're sold out, but November 15th and 16th, we still got some spots in there. So you want to be square. Look, folks, I know a lot of crazy things are going on, and I know it's after the election, but I'm telling you, you're going to learn skills there, folks. Anybody that's ever been through a class with me, you know that I don't hold back. I'm going to give you, your brain is going to be swimming in so much information, you're not even going to know what to do with it all. And I'm not saying this to put butts in seats, y'all. I'm saying this to save lives, because it's kind of getting to that point right now where everybody needs these skills. So let's say you're not processing a pig. Let's say you get a sheep, or let's say you get, well, we got deer season coming on. And judging by the looks of it out there, I don't think people are caring what the season is. I mean, they ain't going to be caring for too long. So you want to get these skills, because what I'm going to show you will work no matter the animal. So November 15th and 16th, we still got some dates there. We still got some spots available there. So make sure you sign up. And then Kentucky Sustainable Living, that's going to be October 26th and 27th. I just realized we have something of a conflict. I know you said you were going to be there, honey, but I don't know that you can be because we got that pig processing on the 25th and 26th. We'll talk about that later. But we were planning on her being there, but I'm just looking at the schedule now. I'm realizing that's probably not going to work out for us unless we work something else out. But yeah, Kentucky Sustainable Living, I had Jason on the other day. And he and Shelly, man, they really put on a good show. And I think you're going to dig the instructors. Plus, William's going to be there as well. And look, y'all, he's just like his old man. He's not going to leave anything on the table. And any questions you have, I guarantee you, he's going to get you squared away. All right, y'all, before we get into the good news, Redemption Shield, Michelle, where every single time, you would think by this time, you know you're going to get browbeat. Billy,
I didn't see your feet on there.
I've been on there. I just took it off to make room for you.
Whatever.
Yeah. Redemption Shield, y'all. Look, I was talking about grounding and how you can stack some of these things, like whether it's the non-sleep deep rest or whatever the case. Look, if you folks, be as grounded as long and as often as you possibly can. I mean it. With all the junk going around in the world in terms of these transient voltage, I mean, you name it, when you can keep yourself grounded, it makes all the difference in the world. Check out the work. I mean, good night, man. At this point, you know, the grounding has become so ubiquitous out there. It used to be a fringe topic that people thought only hippies did. Well, turns out the hippies had their stuff together. I mean, they really did. And they knew what time it was. So stay as grounded as often as you can. Look, if you got rugs in your house, put a grounding mat down. If you're going to work at the computer, if not a grounding mat, or if it's, you know, Let's say your feet are going to smell like some funky corn chips or something. Get one that you can put your rest your arms on. It's always going to be better on your feet, but if you can ground any part of your body, especially being around electronics, it makes all the difference in the world. All right, remember, they didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them, Redemption Shield. 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right, so let's get into the good news now. I want to give a hat tip to my man, Eric. Once again, knocking it out of the park. He sent some really awesome good news stories. I got one of my own I'm going to throw in here. But Michelle, what does that look for, folks? What is that? Eric's like basically saying, dude, let's give you some real good news.
Can we actually get a good news story? Yeah,
can we have some good news, bro? Well, this one here he got from the CDC, strangely enough. When I first saw it, I thought, well, maybe he sent the wrong article. And then I got in there. And the name of this article is Defining Powerhouse Fruits and Vegetables, a Nutrient Density Approach. Now, this one really jumped at me because of what I learned at the Stockman Grass Farmers Conference. There was a guy there who came up, and I talked about it a little while ago, came up with this device, and it's in the beta stage right now. I'd love to buy one. It's a little bit pricey, but man, it is kind of handy where you can set it to, like, basically imagine like a little gun and shoots out a laser beam. You can aim it at the food in the grocery store, at the farmer's market. Man, people are going to think you're totally nuts. And let's say you got to set it to, let's say, tomato. And that thing will tell you the nutrient density based on the on-the-spot evaluation that it gives you right there. And, I mean, that is fantastic. But anyway, the CDC, I mean, this is probably the only beneficial thing they've done as of late. Well, they looked at all these different things, and they're looking at, like, what they're calling the National Nutrient Guidelines emphasize consumption of powerhouse fruits and vegetables, or what they call PFVs, foods most strongly associated with reducing chronic disease risks. Okay, like I said, when it comes, I'm always going to look at it with a jaundiced eye when it comes from the CDC. But as I examine this thing, I'm like, man, okay, so they're looking at things like iron, riboflavin, niacin, folate. Yeah, we might have a discussion about the folate. That's a whole nother, check out the work of Gary Brecka and you're going to realize folic and folic acid and, things that are, enriched. If you see that on a product like your rice or anything else, you need to run away from it. Yeah. That's another conversation altogether. But anyway, at the top of this list, strangely enough, watercress is number one at 100 as far as nutrient density. And I'm not really shocked on that. Chinese cabbage, and this is going down the list. Chinese cabbage, chard, beet greens, spinach, chicory, leaf lettuce, parsley, romaine lettuce. I mean, this is going down the list. Turnip greens, a lot of cruciferous vegetables on here. And then at the very bottom is like a grapefruit, you know, sweet potato, believe it or not, was near the bottom. But I wonder if they're checking just like, I mean, it's a very helpful article to know this stuff. But on the same token, I'm also wondering if they're examining this with a jaundiced eye. Like, for example, somebody says, oh, the compost is great. It's high in NPK. When you and I both know that is not, a determination of nutrient, how well your compost is. So I'd like to go through all of the data, but I mean, you know, it is nice to know that a lot of this stuff, you know, arugula, dandelion green, kale, chive, all this stuff is on the list. I mean, things that you generally kind of know. But,
you know, the dandelion green, dandelions have a taproot. So they're probably, it probably functions very similar to comfrey, where they're pulling the nutrients up, like the vitamins and minerals up from the soil. So maybe they are including a lot of, I don't know what, maybe their data is correct because a lot of those were like watercress. I know is supposed to be extremely healthy.
Yeah. The dandelion greens were like halfway down on the list. I mean, I wonder if there's not a lot. I mean, look, bottom line is eat them all.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was crazy when this guy was doing his examination from all these farms, it was crazy. A lot of the so-called organic farms were some of the worst in their nutrient density. So just because they're organic doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting the best thing out there. But the stuff you're growing in your backyard with Miracle-Gro is better than the stuff you're going to find at Whole Foods. I'm dead serious. But look, if you got to go there, I mean, at least there's at least some benefit to not having all that junk out there. Hat tip to my man, Eric. All right, here's another good one. RFK Jr. proposes subsidizing organic food, not Ozempic, as a solution for obesity for half the price. How about that? First of all, I'm not for subsidies in any form.
Yeah, let's not subsidize anything.
Yeah, I'm not for any of that. But if you're going to just, you know, before we spend money to bomb other countries and everything else,
yeah,
you know,
the absolutely. $8 billion we gave to Ukraine. How about we like reroute some of that money to what he's talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't trust him or any other politician as far as I can throw him, but I enjoy the way he lies. I actually believe that he's dead serious about this, and I'm not for any kind of subsidies really in any form, but I just, when you look at the work of Dr. Brian Artis and you consider what Ozempic is really doing to people out there, and how, I mean, it comes from the Gila monster venom. And what it's doing to your gut bacteria, and how in some cases it's years, if it is possible for you to set yourself right
but
again.
But that, I mean, that's the case with a lot of drugs. It's like, I mean, some of them are they're, yeah, that's the case with a lot of the drugs, like birth control. Look into birth control and see how bad that is. And they do not hesitate to write a prescription for birth control pills.
How about it? How about it? I mean, it's not just that. It's all your blood pressure medication. I mean, Dr. Artis, once again, all of it, lisinopril, you name it. Go down the list. All of it comes from some sort of venom, and none of it's good for you. When I'm finding out, I mean, I'm not going to give medical advice here, but folks, do your work. Look, man, don't tell me you don't have time. If I can work 16-hour days and do what we do around here and still do the research on this stuff, you got time. Don't tell me you don't have time. You know, knock out one of the reruns from Seinfeld or something. You know, go out here. I mean, it's that important, folks. It really is. But you know what? I really like his sentiment there. I mean, if you're going to sub, I'm not for any subsidies, but I would be less inclined to say no for something like that.
I like, let me clarify. I really like what he's saying. I hope that they follow through, that they actually do all these things that they're talking about.
Yeah, but if he does get in, let's say they put him in somewhere in some health position. Well, I don't know that he's going to be better served that way. I agree with, and I don't recall the guy's name, but he is super well known. They would do much better to put him in charge of the Justice Department. You put him over there, and then we'll see heads roll in a way that really, really matters. Because all he's going to do is make all these changes, and then the next administration gets in.
I'm not sure he would. Some of the stuff they're talking about doing, I'm not sure they would even allow it.
Well, put Joel Salatin in charge of the USDA, and then see how things change overnight. Boy, you want to talk about an awesome... You talk about a revolution I could get behind? Man, can you imagine? Good night, man. There's going to be a whole lot of people on the unemployment line, a lot of lazy bureaucrats. And I had some dealing with some of those lazy bureaucrats as of late. Yeah, trying to call up the Department of Veterans Affairs about something. Yeah. Trying to call them up about something. And this is like a simple thing I need done. Folks, I've worked in the government sector on two different occasions in my life. Both times, one time for 6 years, the other time for 5 years. And I'm telling you, there are some good people there. But by and large, most of them are absolutely positively worthless. After 3 years, you know, you're beyond what they call career conditional. You got to murder somebody to get fired. And in most cases, they honestly don't care. Now, there are the exceptions out there, but there are exceptions. I mean, I saw more dirt bags than I saw. I mean, at the VA, at the Leavenworth VA, they got a pedophile, two pedophiles. One of them, you saw him on TV, that they busted him. And he was in charge of the audiovisual or whatever. I can't remember what it was exactly. And he was trying to make a case on TV about how he had consensual. Man, I get pissed just thinking about it. He had consensual relations with a five-year-old, and then we got another one that's working over there. Yeah, I'll tell y'all. He's basically in charge of the cleaning crew over in the hospital at the VA in Leavenworth. Straight up pedophile, convicted. And here he is in a leadership position at a VA. You tell me how that happens. Oh, yeah, real nice guy. And then you find out, yeah, there's a reason he's a real nice guy. Anyway, don't get me started on these nasty bureaucrats. But yeah, Joel Salatin, put him in there and we'll see how things change. All right, here's another hat tip to Eric. he's probably thinking, dude, I sent you all these good news articles and look at what you're doing with them. Now, he didn't send me that one. I sent that one in there. When I saw that one with RFK Jr., I thought, man, that's not a bad idea. But like I said, I'm not for subsidies, but I understand. I mean, man, I'd really love to be able to ethically get behind that. But, you know, I just can't get behind any subsidies. But if you're going to subsidize anything, man, I think I might make an exception in that case. All right. So he says, this other article comes from the storm cloud. And this is why the San Fernando Valley, I don't know why I have struggled so hard saying that, why the San Fernando Valley, and then I go say it again to make it even harder, suburbs could be ground zero for the next farming revolution. Man, I love this article. So it's the San Fernando Valley is the quintessential Los Angeles suburb, okay? And, you know, they're talking about, you know, climate change has made the valley's classic clean-cut lawns more unsustainable. And people have been, I guess, in record numbers, replacing their green grass with crops. Man, it just gave me such joy to read this article. And this really is good news. So there's one place in particular. It's called Cottonwood Urban Farm, where people are able to bring up, you know, some of the rubbish or whatever the case. And, of course, they turn it into compost. They got, you know, and they call it Cottonwood Farm. But, man, they got everything from, I mean, you name a tree out there that can probably grow in that area, and they got it going. And they're being the examples. I mean, they got figs, they got stone fruits, bananas, cool, mulberries, and a number of other things out there as well. And they got mounds of mulch, and of course, they're using birds. They say dozens of birds. I'm thinking they're meaning chickens to keep the beetles in check. But, I mean, good night, man. This is exactly how we solve these problems. Like Jeff Lawton always says, all the world's problems can be solved in a garden. I mean, think about it. If you have everybody in the neighborhood doing this, it makes you pretty hard to kill.
Yeah.
It makes you pretty hard to kill. And you don't have to do it all. That's the beauty of it. That's the part in the permaculture design manual that I really need to spend more time in. And it's what David Holmgren, as of late, has really spoken a lot of. And I'd love to get him on the show. In fact, Darren Doherty, his wife said, you know, they're really good friends with him and they could probably work it out. I need to get Jeff Lawton on the show anyway. But you don't have to do it all. All you need is a coalition of the willing. And then enough people see what's going on and they're like, man, we're not growing grass, man. We're growing food out here. Maybe one person's growing some fruit trees. Maybe they're really good at it. Maybe another person has a market garden. Maybe another person has a lawn just big enough to wear. Or, you know, one idea I thought of before is, you know, just run. If somebody does have a lawn, don't ever mow it. Take some sheep, run through there. Eat the grass, fertilize the lawn. Obviously, you can't have people out there spraying Roundup on this stuff. But man, this is exactly how we get beyond all this stuff. And sadly, it's going to have to hurt, I think, a little bit more for people to wake up. When you look at, like, there was a podcast I was listening to the other day, and they were talking about the Victory Gardens that happened. And, you know, how the government was actually, well, I mean, there's no shortage of all these stories of the government actually saying, man, look, we need this stuff on the front lines, man. Turn your vehicle off at a stoplight or, you know, grow this, grow that. You know, this is what we need over there. You know, if you can avoid buying it or needing it on the shelves, you know, we need to send it to the boys overseas. And of course, you know, that was all a contrived mess as well. But I digress. Point being, there was a time where the government actually said, hey, we need to be growing food. All right. Speaking of growing food, let's talk about how we grow our minds with my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, consider a community of ants. The following is an excerpt from the book Cradle to Cradle, Remaking the Way We Make Things. This book was written in early 2000 and is still quite revolutionary even today. Consider a community of ants. As part of their daily activities, they safely and effectively handle their own material wastes and those of other species, grow and harvest their own food while nurturing the ecosystem of which they are a part. Construct houses, farms, dumps, cemeteries, living quarters, and food storage facilities from materials that can be truly recycled. Create disinfectants and medicines that are healthy, safe, and biodegradable. Maintain soil health for the entire planet. Individually, we are much larger than ants, but collectively, their biomass exceeds ours. Just as there is almost no corner of the globe untouched by human presence, there is almost no land habitat, from harsh desert to inner city, untouched by some species of ant. They are a good example of a population whose density and productiveness are not a problem for the rest of the world, because everything they make and use returns to the cradle-to-cradle cycles of nature. All their materials, even their most deadly chemical weapons, are biodegradable, and when they return to the soil, they supply nutrients, restoring in the process some of those that were taken to support the colony. Ants also recycle the wastes of other species. Leafcutter ants, for example, collect decomposing matter from the Earth's surface, carry it down into their colonies, and use it to feed the fungus gardens that they grow underground for food. During their movements and activities, they transport minerals to upper layers of soil, where plant life and fungi can use them as nutrients. They turn and aerate the soil and make passageways for water drainage, playing a vital role in maintaining soil fecundity and health. They truly are, as biologist E.O. Wilson has pointed out, the little things that run the world. But although they may run the world, they do not overrun it. Ants have been incredibly industrious for millions of years, yet their productiveness nourishes plants, animals, and soil. Human industry has been in full swing for a little over a century, yet it has brought about a decline in almost every ecosystem on the planet. Nature doesn't have a design problem. People do. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. Boy, he knocked it out of the park with that one once again. King Solomon really knew his stuff. Consider the ant, thou sluggard. Good night. There's nothing I could add to that. And they're just mere insects, huh? You think maybe we could learn a few things from the ant?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, and one thing, like, I think we always need to look at, I know people are very down on fire ants, and, like, I understand. But, like, look at their function. What function do they serve?
Well, it was like you pointed out to me a while back. Somebody asked Stefan Subkowiak about that, and he had talked about the very same things that Eric was talking about. Like, yeah, you don't want to get mixed up with them. But man, look at what they're doing down in that soil. Maybe they're serving a function of something else. Okay, how do we work with them? And when we were in Texas, you and I were finding ways in which to work around them. I mean, boy, you don't want them on you, but there's no getting rid of them.
Right, right.
And maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it forces you to work a little more carefully.
Well, also, if maybe you can see them in a different light if you realize that they do serve a function. Like, appreciate them for that. I mean, don't go stomping through their stuff, but like, just realize that they're there for a reason.
Well, for all the reasons that Eric cited is exactly what, not all of those reasons, but a great many of them is what Stefan cited, as I recall. But maybe the idea is, okay, if I'm slowing down, think about this. If you're in a place like where we were in East Texas, a lot of rattlesnakes everywhere. And boy, you want to talk about putting the fear of God in you, boy, when you hear that rattle go off, man, because you don't know where it's coming from at first. But if you slow down because of the ants, you're going to slow down because of that snake.
Well, I mean, it's not just rattlesnakes. Copperheads were even more numerous than the rattlesnakes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's they're out there. And, there's a profound lesson to learn in all this. Hat tip once again to my man, Eric Sider. So go check him out. In fact, I'm wearing one of his shirts right now. All right, y'all. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, things jump off. You ain't going to the club. You're going to the hizzle. Faux shizzle, my nizzle. And to top it off, if you put one on your house and anything downstream gets Kentucky Fried, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. Can't find another deal out there like that. I guarantee. Also, Harvest Right Freeze Dryers, y'all. They're also a sponsor of this show. I imagine they're in the show notes as well if you need one. And if you're looking for all the reasons, just open up the Drudge Report. All right. So Managing floods. I'm gonna kind of hit this in a different way, and it's apropos because of what's going on right now. We talked about at the top of the show that Asheville is looking pretty rough, and I don't even want to start thinking about what it's going to be like by tomorrow. That is kind of a bottomland, but man, that whole place is going to be a mess. Now, it's less of a concern as far as having standing floods and everything because we live on the side of a mountain, but it can drag everything down that mountain, and it does in terms of the driveway because it still needs work. Poorly designed, and it definitely needs work. But remember, speaking of Eric Sider, think about that shirt he sells. What does it say? Water access structures. So when you go to a site, you should be asking right off the bat. Now, fundamentally, most people are going to think, oh, water, like, do I have any? Don't you think that's what most people are thinking?
Right.
But that is very, very myopic in your thinking, if that's all you're thinking, because you should be observing every time there's a rain event, where does that water land? Where does it go? Where does it shed? Is this going to be a problem? Do I want to put a road here? And obviously, at all those questions, when they built this place, the answer was yes. They didn't decide to put a road on a spur. They didn't cut it the right way. They didn't crown the road properly. They didn't do anything right. And so we have issues. I mean, things that are correctable, but they are issues nonetheless. So when you go on a property, when you're thinking about that, obviously you want to be thinking, okay, do I have water to drink, to bathe, to shower, whatever the case may be, to wash clothes, whatever the case. Do I have water for my animals? You know, can I harvest water? But you got to also be thinking about those 100-year events, which probably is what's going on in a lot of places right now, or is going to be here before too long.
And they also seem like they're becoming more frequent too. These 100-year events are turning into like
5-year events.
Yes.
If not sooner. But you're seeing these effects. So you got to be thinking about that when you sculpt that land or when you put your house in a certain place. You got to be thinking about this stuff. I knew a guy back in Texas. He was my boss, and he built this house and he put a pond out there. Every time it rains, and it's a beautiful house. It's like, oh my goodness, man, what were y'all thinking, man? It's like everything's at ground level. And it was right there in Sherman. I'm like, oh my goodness, what were you thinking? And there are ways to mitigate it, but man, they are costly. So you want to be thinking about that sort of thing. Also be thinking, whenever that energy, and I've talked about this numerous times, whenever energy hits your property, remember, you can capture it at least for a little while. You can deflect it, and sometimes you can amplify it, and sometimes, in the best cases, you can do all three. So, for example, let's say I'm going to capture it in the swale, or I'm going to deflect it from a swale into a pond, right? From that pond, I could do Joel Salatin or Greg Judy style, where I got a little valve in that pond where I can let the water out. As it goes down the hill, well, you think maybe I want to put a few inline turbines? Those turbines could be powering up some batteries, you know, but almost nobody does it. There was only one guy I knew of that actually does this. I mean, there's got to be other people out there. Otherwise, they wouldn't have these inline turbines. But in that case, you're obviously deflecting it with a swale. You're capturing it in the swale to a certain extent. In the case like we did at Special Operations Equipment, it fills up the swale, then it fills the pond, and then it overflows from the spillway in the pond when it gets too bad, or spillway in the swale, depending on where, on how you have these things set up. So there are so many different ways you can go about this. So many awesome different ways, but you got to be thinking about your water. And in these high rain events, it's not just capturing it. I mean, think about all these different ways. Not only, okay, so let's say you got ponds on your property where they engineered for a 100-year rain event. So you don't fill your ponds all the way to the brim, you know?
And also, it reminds me of when we first moved to Texas, they were having a very, I don't know how, I know it wasn't typical. I know they had much heavier rains that year that we moved there than they previously had, but they had so much water that we didn't have access to the property.
That's right. That is right.
So there was water, but that water prohibited you from having access. So it took us significantly longer to even move onto the property because it was never constructed right.
No. And strangely, it was on one of the higher points of ground too. It should have been well done, but it was not even close. So yeah, there's, you can put down some rocks, you can put down some stones, you can put down, to give you access, but there was none of that.
Right.
And we had to wind up doing it. And remember, we had that driver out there, man, just dumped all the crushed concrete in one spot.
And the guy was like, what did he say?
I don't know, but man, this guy was,
you kept trying to tell him, hey, you can like move and dump at the same time. And he would just come and just dump.
And I was like, dude, what are you thinking? He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, this is the second time he did the very thing I told you not to do, man. Raise your doggone. I mean, this guy.
Yeah. And then you talk to the boss and the boss is like, yeah, we don't hire rocket scientists.
Yeah. I'm like, what on earth, man? Yeah. That was quite the adventure.
Oh, that was.
But yeah. Having to do it with wheelbarrow and by hand.
Yes. I remember.
That was not fun, but we got it done and we've always had to do it the hard way. You know what? So it's not all a bad thing when you find yourself in a situation like this. Yeah, it sucks. I ain't even going to try to church it up, y'all. When you get rain this bad, but man, do not ignore. Go out there after, do an after actions review and find all those problem areas. Find those areas where you just got tons of erosion. Okay, how do I slow this down? How do I deflect to it? How do I capture it? How do I amplify it? How do I do all these things? So when you do have an event like this, don't waste it and just be upset about the problem and then just find yourself back in the same area again. Look at it and say, okay, where were those problem areas? And here's one really important one. So maybe you're wanting to put something, this is a big one right here. Maybe you're wanting to put something in an area that it should not be. Like you got animals. This is very important. So maybe you got animals grazing in a spot that you know is going to get flooded whenever bad rains come on. Okay, is that an area you know the rain's coming? Is that where you want them? But right now, I did the video where I got them on the mountainside. Okay, well, everything's shedding off there. Am I going to have to worry about hoof rot? Am I going to have to worry about any of this kind of stuff?
Or trees. Like, look at your trees because right after the rain comes, the wind is supposed to come. So do you have your animals in an area where trees might be falling over?
Yeah, I mean, but when you have these high wind and rain events, it's also a great opportunity to ask yourself, okay, I was going to put this, let's say, pick your poison. Let's say it's a garden. I wanted to put my garden here, but man, look at all that rain. Okay. You ain't never going to have a garden that makes sense there. Maybe that area makes better. What's the land telling you? Because I don't care. You can fight it all you want. Unless you have a whole lot of money, if that area was meant to be a pond and you put a garden there, well, you're going to need a lot of fill dirt to make it something else.
Yeah, it's going to be a constant problem.
And then, okay, so you put a lot of fill dirt. Now the rain that was going to be there, where is it going now? So it's a zero-sum game, and you got to be thinking about this. So when you get these high rain events, it can be a blessing on the back end. Look, I'll give you a prime example. Okay, I don't know how much I want to go into this right now, but I did a little bit of online therapy yesterday, okay? And it was strange. I was saying I don't think it did much for me, but okay, it was raining cats and dogs last night. And there's a couple of places in the house where it's leaking. Ordinarily, I would lose my beans over this. I'd be like, man, I'd be absolutely fired up, angry. And I'm looking at this run down the wall and I'm realizing I'm going to have to replace sheetrock, obviously. It's done it before, but I haven't gotten around to fixing it or bringing in some roofers to go up here and figure out what's going on. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, problem is the solution. How do I correct this? How do I set things right? And instead of, I'm like, okay, for now, being upset about it ain't changing nothing. I'm going to take a more stoic approach to this. And that's exactly what I did. So just lay the towel down there, let the stuff come in that was going to come in. And then I'm like, all right, well, it is what it is. So then I drive on. And so this morning I kind of formulated a plan. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Like, there ain't no not replacing this sheetrock. There ain't no getting around it. Well, I was like, we probably want to paint the walls anyway. So
I mean, probably need to actually do something since we've moved in here.
Yeah, we've been here it's 6 years and we still don't have pictures on the walls. Yeah, it tells you where our tells you where our efforts lie. But you know, the problem is the solution. I'm like, okay, I got to change this sheetrock. But you know what? Now I'll paint this thing a color that Michelle does not pick out. Yeah. Folks, if you only knew.
Okay, in my defense, Billy, I can pick out a paint chip, but that doesn't mean that it actually looks like that on the wall.
We're going to get somebody. We're going to bring somebody in that has some design sense, because neither one of us have it. Folks, we can design a farm, but we can't design the inside of a house.
Yeah, I'll do flowers, but the inside of a house needs to be for somebody else.
Yeah, that we're just going to have to bring somebody else to handle these colors, man, because it ain't either one of us. I mean, and William doesn't have it.
No,
I mean,
William didn't have a chance.
No. I mean, neither one of us have rhythm. Neither one of us have any design sense, but we got design sense when it comes outside the door.
Just let me design the outside.
It's just, I devote zero brain effort to any of that stuff, but I'm like, okay, well, the problem is the solution. Okay, I get to replace this sheetrock and take in a new skill, because I don't know how to do it, but I'll learn. I'll replace this sheetrock, tape, mud it, you know, do the whole nine yards, and we'll get this thing painted. And, you know, while I'm at it, maybe replace those chandeliers up there with some ceiling fans or something. I mean, something useful, you know? Yeah. I mean, make it make sense. That's my point. The problem is the solution. So you're going to have, obviously, a fair amount of damage for a lot of folks out there. And I'm praying that it's minimal. And what it does outside, pay attention. Especially if it's land that you have not yet built a home on. Pay attention. Where does that water sit in? What did it drag away? Where should you put your home? If there's a great ray of hope in all this, y'all, it's that it gives you a sense of design on what should go where. And then you're going to find out, okay, this is exactly how I need to structure things. So, you know, take the crookeds with the straights, as they say. All right, before we get into the Q&A, 5% off GreenWave filters. I'm hopefully going to look, I got the video done, just got to get it out. And you're going to find out just how beneficial those things are. You got dirty power all around you, folks. And in fact, I mean, you'll know for sure when you watch the video. You'll have to buy a meter if you want to know how bad and where your problems are. But GreenWave filters, man, they're the most economic filter I found out there. Believe me, 27 years as a journeyman electrician, I know my stuff on this thing. And I'm here to tell you, this is one of those hidden things that you don't know is polluting your environment. And I got some other things I'm working on as well. So we'll worry about that. I got to do some testing on some other devices, but I have tested these things. They work. So you get 5% off at greenwavefilters.com. Promo code PERMA gets you 5% off. All right. So we got a couple of questions here. We got one from Nathaniel. He's saying, do you have any specific knives you recommend for butchering guinea hogs and goats? I know you've recommended Victorinox. Okay. So check this out. If you had to, y'all, I mean, I've done it. I've done the video where you can do the whole thing with a Leatherman if you want it. And I've done a whole pig with a leather. I think it was a pig.
Yeah, it was a pig.
Yep, with a Leatherman. So it can be done. Although I do wish, I just wish somebody would come out with a bone saw on something like this where it was all right there. But, you know, now that I think about it, if you're down to doing it with a Leatherman anyway, man, you're not really worried about doing any fancy cuts anyway. So I don't know that you're going to need the bone saw. So I need to probably do another video where I just, you know, make some pretty awesome cuts with this thing. But yeah, man, I need to repost that video because honestly, that was.
I wonder if Leatherman does have a model that has a bone saw.
I even reached out to him and I was saying, look, man. I don't need an affiliate thing. Just make me one of these things and I will tell everybody about it. I'll do a video. They're like, we can't find people to work in the factory, man. In fact, they were talking about having to shut down.
So they said that they didn't make one like that had, that's odd.
Now they got a tree saw on it, but I mean, they're not exactly making these things for butchers. So I'm like, man, if you
no, but if you just think about hunting, like they don't make like a hunting.
A hunting kit where I just need to rethink this thing and think about how I can go about doing this. But if you found yourself in a situation like that, man, I made some pretty awesome cuts, but there ain't no getting down the spine. I mean, but it can all be done with just your regular Leatherman. But yeah, as far as that goes, all you need is a 6 and a 10 inch boning knife. I would also recommend Camlock bone saw, KAM. That's Camlock with a K. Camlock 17 and a half inch ought to be more than everything to get up to a pig. Now, they make a 21 inch that you can use if you're going to be messing with a cow. And if you're using hand tools on that, you're going to get strong, nephew. All right. So this one here, man, it's quite long, folks. I will say, look, I love reading your comments, but I really can't spend 5 minutes reading every email that comes in, y'all. I'm just being honest with you. I don't have the bandwidth and I don't have the time. We got one from, I'm just going to try to hit some of the high points and give you some recommendations here. This one comes from Annie. She says, I'm 75. I've gardened in Arkansas, North Carolina, Georgia, and now Southern Missouri. In a nutshell, she basically had to move. And she says, we cannot afford a riding lawnmower as it costs over $100 a month to have it mowed. I mean, you're working on a serious budget, okay? And she's asking for anybody in the area. Annie, you got a lot here that you're asking, can you plant comfrey in the fall? Yes, you can. You know, planting bare roots, I recommend doing that in the fall. Where do you get them? And she's asking, could we do a lot of stuff on plant propagation? We've done some of that stuff. You'd have to go looking for it online, though. But I would highly recommend you reach out to ericsider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R, ericsider.com. And he might be able to hook you up on a remote. William also, the permacultureconsultant@gmail.com. I'd reach out to them, but I'm not in the consulting business anymore. And I know you left your phone number and a lot of other things here. I'm doing the best I can. I gotta work things in a shotgun blast. I can't really do it in a rifle blast in a rifle bullet. I just don't have the bandwidth. I can't keep up with what I currently have. So I would reach out to some people out there, and maybe there's somebody out there to a certain extent that might provide a little bit of pro bono on some of that. I don't know. You'll have to reach out to them, but thank you so much. Got one from Ellen. Says, I'm interested in bone saws, but there's no ingredient list. No application details. We do have a video. How much does it take to protect? How large an area? How long will it last? She wrote fast, but I think she meant last. Is it affected by rain? Is it extremely expensive? It is extremely expensive, and you're supposed to be all about making do on very little. And it puts me a frown face. I don't know what any of that, I don't know what that last part means. Let me take this piece by piece. Well, first of all, I think you're saying that I'm charging too much for it. I'm charging about, honestly, half of what I should charge. And I'll be honest with you, the price hasn't gone up. If anything, we lowered the shipping cost. We eat the shipping cost on this stuff. This stuff is very difficult to make, very expensive to make. And if anything, I'm selling it at a very discount. The prices should be double what they are. If I'm being totally honest, I'm sure nobody out there expects anybody to work for free, but we intentionally keep the price as low as we can handle it because
there was a lot of research and development that went in it. And there's a lot of time that goes into producing each batch. It's not mass produced. It's produced in very small quantities so that it's produced right. And if it isn't right,
I mean, William is my son and he would get it right maybe 15% of the time.
Yeah.
And I taught him. It's that difficult to make. I've done it so many times now that I would say my success rate at this point is probably 95%. But this stuff is very difficult to make, at least in the concentrations that I do it. Now, as far as the ingredient list, I don't hear anybody asking Coca-Cola what their secret ingredient is, or, you know, what are the special herbs and spices at KFC? But I get asked this a lot. Now, what I will tell you is it's bone, bones, water, heat, time, and technique. That's essentially it. There's a few other things I throw in there. Now, you don't want to be eating this stuff. But honestly, there is parts of this. I've worked very, very hard to make this stuff. And there's some of this stuff that's proprietary. None of it's illegal. None of it. I mean, you, like I said, you don't want to eat it. As far as the application details, there's some of this stuff that I can't possibly address because each situation is different. I've done a video on it, and I probably ought to update the video. But if I do a video, then people are going to say, oh, you're just being, you know, I'll get those comments like, oh, you're just trying to make money and blah, 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 blah.
The purpose of it is the original application was to put on fruit trees. So you can use a paintbrush and you can paint it on the trunk and the limbs of fruit trees. And it's supposed to keep the deer away. It lasts for a very long time. It's not water-based, so it's not washed away by rain.
Despite what one scammer out there pulled with us on the last time.
Right.
Yeah, this stuff is...
It's not like you're going to have a rain and it's all going to get washed away. It lasts for a while.
Yeah, it does. And I can't give you specifics because in every scenario, you know, are people feeding the deer around you? Are they hungry? Is it dry? Is it rainy? All these things take a factor. And I can't address each specific detail. The stuff is rather oil-based. And yes, it soaks in when you put it on there. We had one lady try to tell me, yeah, okay, Michelle's telling me don't even talk about it. But look, there are scammers out there that try to make certain claims that I know you're lying about. It's not a matter of if. Am I wrong, honey?
No.
I know you were lying about it. And so, yeah, when we come across those people, we just won't do business with you again. But as far as everything in it, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell anybody what's in it. There's only maybe, you know, Sepp, if you want to make your own, you're welcome to it. I mean, Sepp Holzer's recipe's out there, but mine's 10 times stronger. So, and yes, there are things I do that make it that way. And I bet there's not another human being on earth that has worked harder to make this stuff more concentrated than I have. And is it a panacea? Does it work 100% of the time? Look, I can't say that, but what I can say is there is nothing on this planet that I know of that works better. Yep. So if anybody's making something stronger or you have a recipe that's better than mine, knock yourself out. That's why we got to, if you can make it cheaper, I'd like to know how you're doing it because I don't know anybody that can make it for. Unless you are working for pennies, you cannot make it any less expensive. Like I said, this stuff is made in very small batches, and my time is worth something. So, I'm not looking to come down on you, but I get this question every once in a while. Like, oh, if you cared so much about people, you would just give it away. Okay, what do you do with your paycheck?
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to get on my high horse, man, because if I'm not careful, I will go nuclear here. And that's definitely not the intent. All right, y'all. Hopefully this was all a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. You spitting that manicotti, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell, they wanna spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior. I will never bow down.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.